Day 437, Tuesday, June 11th. Amos 1, Amos 1, 1 on S 15, NKJV. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, The Lord roars from Zion, and utters his voice from Jerusalem, the pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. Thus says the Lord, For three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Avon, and the one who holds the scepter from Beth-Eden. The people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, Three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord, For three transgressions of Tyre, and for four I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. Thus says the Lord, For three transgressions of Edom, and for four I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword, and cast off all pity, his anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozra. Thus says the Lord, For three transgressions of the people of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the women with child in Gilead that they might enlarge their territory. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabba, and it shall devour its palaces amid shouting in the day of battle, and a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. Their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, says the Lord. Daily Deep Dive. The UCG Reading Plan states, The prophet Amos came from Tekoa in Judah, 10 miles south of Jerusalem, and was a sheep breeder, a term used elsewhere in scripture only of King Mesha of Moab, 2 Kings 3. Mesha's business was enormous, regularly paying 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams as tribute to Israel. In contrast, Amos's was obviously a small business. For, like David, he took care of the flocks, Amos 7:15, and he tended sycamore fig trees, Amos 7:14. The sycamore fig tree bears thousands of figs, very much like the common fig, but smaller, and not as good. Before this fruit could ripen properly, a small hole had to be pierced in the bottom of its skin. This piercing was done by hand, and was a tedious and time-consuming task. Why was Amos obliged to tend the sycamore? Western Judah, the oasis of Jericho, and Lower Galilee were the regions where sycamore figs grew most abundantly. The shepherds needed to bring their flocks to one of these regions in late summer, after the desert pastures had dried up. Since this was the time for piercing the sycamore fruit, landowners would exchange grazing rights for labor. A shepherd could watch his flock while sitting on the broad limbs of the sycamore, piercing its fruit. Thus Amos was not a wealthy man. Wealthy sheep breeders hired shepherds to tend their flocks. Amos followed his flock himself, Amos 7:15, and when that meant piercing sycamore fruit, he pierced sycamore fruit. Nelson Study Bible, Introductory Notes on Amos. His preaching took place during a time of great prosperity in both Judah and Israel. Uzziah was on the throne in Judah and Jeroboam II ruled in Israel. The nations were going through a period of great optimism. Business was booming, and both countries were extending their border. But as is often the case in times of prosperity, the attitudes of people degenerated. Greed and injustice became commonplace, and a careless attitude toward religious practice replaced true, godly worship. Amos's prophecy is dated to a time 2 years before the earthquake, Amos 1:1, referred to also in Zechariah 14:5. According to the first century Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, This earthquake happened when Uzziah sinned in attempting to offer incense antiquities of the Jews. Book 9, chap. 10, sec. 4. Since this action was perpetrated 11 or so years before Uzziah's death, the earthquake would have occurred around 751 BC, thus dating Amos's prophecy to around 753 BC. The earthquake being used as dating, along with Amos's dialogue with Amaziah, the priest of Jeroboam's temple at Bethel, Amos 7:10 to 17, reveals that the period of Amos's prophetic activity was very short, unlike many of the other prophets. Amos went to Bethel from Tekoa, delivered his prophetic oracles, and returned home. He probably stayed in Bethel only a few days. Introductory notes on Amos. Very soon after the prophet's appearance at Bethel, Jeroboam II died, beginning Israel's rapid decline. Amos preaches against the nations. As the book begins, Amos appears before a throng of Israelites worshiping at Bethel. Prior to his oracle against Israel, he pronounces God's judgment against the surrounding nations, including Judah. Each of the first seven oracles follows the same format. 1. Damascus verses 3 to 5 was the capital of Syria, one of Israel's long-term rivals. The Syrian king Hazael and his son Ben-Hadad verse 4 were cruel in their treatment of Israel. See 2 Kings 1213. Gilead verse 3 was a rich forest area east of the Jordan River. It had belonged to Israel since they had taken over the land, but Aram often had fought Israel for possession of northern Gilead, gaining control there in Israel's times of military weakness. As Nelson note on Amos 1:3, it is likely that the threshing attack is the same incident referred to in 2 Kings 13:7. The metaphor Amos used is that of a threshing sledge, an agricultural implement made of parallel boards fitted with sharp points of iron or stone. The intensity of the metaphor, however, implies the most extreme decimation and may hint at especially cruel or inhuman treatment. Expositor's Bible Commentary, note on Amos 1:3. Concerning the Valley of Avon and Beth Eden, Amos may have intended a play on words here. Avon means sin in Hebrew. Damascus was a verdant oasis city on the edge of the desert that could be compared to Eden. However, Amos may also have been referring to the Beth Eden region on the north bank of the Euphrates. Nelson, note on verse 5. Or perhaps the reference to Avonon in Hebrew, maybe rather to the valley between Lebanon and anti-Lebanon, called El Beka, where are the ruins of the Baalbek Temple of the Sun. So the LXXIE Septuagint renders it on the same name as the city in Egypt bears, dedicated to the sun worship. Genesis 1:45. Margin, Ezekiel 0:17, Heliopolis, the city of the sun. It is termed by Amos the Valley of Avon, or vanity, from the worship of idols in it. Jameson, Fawcett and Brown's Commentary, note on Amos 1:5. Kir, where Amos said the Syrians would be taken captive, was a region subject to Assyria Issa. 6th Iberia, the same as that called now an Armenian Kur, lying by the river Cyrus, which empties itself into the Caspian Sea. Assyrian ruler Tiglath-Pileser III fulfilled this prophecy when Ahaz king of Judah applied for help to him against Rezin king of Syria and carried away its people captive to Kir. Same note. This occurred in 732 BC. Amos later referred to Kir as the place from which the Syrians had originally come. 9:7 Nelson, note on verse 5. It is also stated that God's punishment is to send fire to devour. The JFB commentary explains this as flames of war, Psalm 78:63, and notes that it occurs also in VSF 7:10, 12:14, and 2:2, 5, note on verse 4. However, the book later speaks of actual conflagration, such as destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah 4:11. Fiery destruction is referred to as it in chapters 1 verse 14 and 2 verses 2-5. The Anchor Bible Commentary states, all eight oracles refer to the same it, which will not be retracted or reversed. There was a single decree covering them all, declaring judgment on the entire region as a unit. This unity suggests one cosmic holocaust, not just several invasions that would pick these countries off one by one, note on Amos 1. Thus, rather than the ancient Assyrian and Babylonian invasions of the region, this seems to point to a great end-time destruction, which is elsewhere pointed to in the book. It is interesting to note that the inhabitants of Syria in our day have continually tried to take control of the northeastern territory of the modern state of Israel by force, and remain some of Israel's most implacable enemies. Philistia, Amos 1:6-8. The southern coastal plain of Palestine was occupied by the Philistines, who lived in five main cities: Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron, Gath, and Gaza. Four of these are mentioned in this oracle. Indeed, among all the biblical prophecies of the Philistines hereafter, Gath is conspicuously left out. It is noteworthy that Gath is not mentioned in these prophecies, from which it may be inferred that Gath ceased to be of any major significance after the time of Uzziah. Philistines, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, 1986, p. 843. Of taking captive the whole captivity, the JFB commentary says, i.e., they left none. Under Jehoram already, the Philistines had carried away all the substance of the king of Judah, and his wives and his sons, so that there was never a son left to him, save Jehoahaz. And after Amos's time, if the reference includes the future, which to the prophet's eye is as if already done, under Ahaz 2 Chronicles 2008. 18 They seized on all the cities and villages of the low country and south of Judah, note on 1:6. Then we learn that they deliver them up to Edom, verse 6. Judah's bitterest foe, as slaves against 9, cf. Joel 3:1-3:6. Commentator Grotius refers to the fact Isaiah 16:4 that on Sennacherib's invasion of Judah, yet future at this point, many fled for refuge to neighboring countries. The Philistines, instead of hospitably sheltering the refugees, sold them, as if captives in war, to their enemies. The Edomians, note on Amos 1:6. God's punishment is to send fire. Again, JFB says, i.e., the flames of war, Numbers 21:2008, Isaiah 6:11. Hezekiah fulfilled this prophecy, smiting the Philistines unto Gaza, 2 Kings 18:8. Foretold by Isaiah 14:29-31, note on Amos 1:7. It is of course possible that these statements refer duly or even solely to events that are yet future. A large part of the territory of ancient Philistia is today the Palestinian Gaza Strip. 3. Tyre, Amos 1:10, was a major Phoenician port city to the north of Israel and southwest of Damascus. God brings the same charge against the Tyrians as against the Philistines. However, the betrayal in this case is worse, considering the covenant of brotherhood between Israel and Tyre, perhaps the league of King Hiram of Tyre with David and Solomon. The Phoenicians were master seafarers. Tyre and Israel had forged an alliance that was profitable for both. However, Tyre ignored the long-standing covenant of brotherhood and sought commercial gain by selling Israelite slaves to Edom Nelson, note on 1:9. As punishment, God sends fire, verse 10. Tyre was beset by literal fire, when many parts of Tyre were burnt by fiery missiles of the Chaldeans under Nebuchadnezzar, JFB, note on verse 10. And old Tyre was eventually destroyed in 333 BC by Alexander the Great. A similar scenario will occur in the last days, as Tyre was a major center of commerce in the ancient world. Tyre is also given as the name for the end-time global trading bloc in Ezekiel 27, called Babylon in Revelation 18. It is dominated by a final revival of the Roman Empire, centered in Europe. Here we also see Israel and Judah as trading partners in this alliance, Ezekiel 7:17. Yet this friendly relationship will come to an end. Modern Israelites and Jews will be conquered by this system, the survivors taken captive as POWs, then to be bought and sold as slaves, compare Ezekiel 6:8-9, Leviticus 6:33-38-39, Jeremiah 33:8, Revelation 18:13. Yet, God will bring great fire and destruction on end-time Tyre at the return of Jesus Christ. 4. Edom Amos 1:11-12 laying to the southeast of the southern tip of the Dead Sea in modern Jordan. Indeed, it is interesting that the ancient territories of the next three nations mentioned by Amos are all now embraced by the same country. In a prophecy of the last days in Daniel 11, Edom, Moab and the prominent people of Ammon, verse 41, are grouped together still, apparently meaning the modern state of Jordan, and perhaps, since most Jordanians are Palestinian, the Palestinians in general. Many of the Palestinians are evidently of Edomite descent. The Edomites were descended from Esau, the twin brother of Jacob, so there was a close relationship between them and Israel. And God considered them as brothers. Numbers 20:14, Obadiah 1:12, Deuteronomy 23:7. But Edom was always set against Israel. Numbers 20:14-21, 1 Samuel 14:7, 2 Kings 8:20-22, an enmity beginning from the time Esau lost his blessing to Jacob. Genesis 7:41. In so many cases, Edom chose the day of Israel's calamity for venting his grudge. This is the point of Edom's guilt, dwelt on in Obadiah 10:13 JFB, note, on Amos 1:11. Indeed, when Judah was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, Edom, as a closely related nation, should have helped Judah's refugees. But instead of offering sympathy and help, Edom handed Judeans over to the conquering Babylonians. The Edomites even murdered some of the refugees. Nelson, introductory notes on Obadiah, Timon, verse 12. Named after the eldest grandson of Esau and Edom's first tribal chief. Genesis 36:10-16, is believed to have been one of the largest cities in Edom, and Bozra was a major fortress. Both were overrun by the Nabataeans. Although the punishment of verse 12 may refer to destruction that is still future, compare Isaiah 34. Today, the Edomites may be found among the Palestinians and Turks, and in other areas of the Middle East. See the Bible reading program comments on Obadiah. Over the centuries, Edom has not been compassionate, suppressing even the natural feeling of pity for a brother in distress. And this is one of the reasons for God's judgment. How much more should we be compassionate today? Psalm 6:15, Zechariah 7:9, Matthew 18:33, Mark 1:41, Luke 10:33, Peter 3:5. Ammon, Amos 1:13-15, was further to the north in the area of modern-day Amman in Jordan. The city of Amman now sits on the site of the ancient city of Rabbah, verse 14. The Ammonites, like the Moabites to the south, were descended from the incestuous incident of Lot's daughters with their father. Genesis 19:30-38. As Lot was Abraham's nephew, Ammon and Moab were related to Israel, though not as closely as Edom. Horribly, as Hazael of Syria had done. 2 Kings 8:12, the Ammonites killed pregnant women in order to prevent the increase of the Israelite population in Gilead, which they were trying to wrest from Israel's control. Nelson, note, on Amos 1:13. The Ammonites were later to rejoice at the fall of Jerusalem at the hands of the Chaldean Babylonian Empire, Ezekiel 25:1-7. Indeed, they joined the Chaldeans in their invasion of Judea for the sake of plunder, JFB, note on Amos 1:13. But the Ammonites were to suffer the same downfall during Nebuchadnezzar's onslaught. At the end of this age, the Jordanians are prophesied to escape the initial invasion by the European Babylon, see Daniel 11:41. However, Zephaniah 2, Isaiah 15:16, and 34, Jeremiah 48:49, and Obadiah foretell the ultimate destruction of Ammon, Moab, and Edom at the time of Christ's return. End. Verse 3. Adam Clark's commentary states, "These expressions of 3 and 4, so often repeated in this chapter, mean repetition, abundance, and anything that goes towards excess. Very, very exceedingly, and so it was used among the ancient Greek and Latin poets."